Yesterday, Hiraji explained that Vivatagami Kusala are the Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, the requisites of enlightenment. So these requisites of enlightenment conduce to the gaining of enlightenment. And among the requisites of enlightenment, there is Satipatthana and Buddha. The requisites of enlightenment are the main things in the teaching of the Buddha. These requisites of enlightenment, they are the main essence of the teaching of the Buddha. And Buddha himself taught these requisites of enlightenment. So these requisites of enlightenment were known by the Buddha himself, and one should learn these dhammas theoretically from books or also from learning by listening. And they should be practiced as a vitabha. When one has learned the method, one should start practicing, working on these dhamma. And one should develop, cultivate these dhamma so that they will become from small to big, tender to ripe, and from less to many. In order to cultivate these dhamma, one should practice diligently, repeatedly, over and over again. So these dhammas were discerned by the Buddha, and one should develop and cultivate these dhammas. So what is the benefit of developing, cultivating these dhamma? Every time one notes these objects, one gains knowledge. And in every noting, when knowledge is gained, Sila, Samadhi, Panya, the three trainings, morality, concentration, and wisdom, are consisted when noting the object and by gaining knowledge. They are called Brahmacharya because these dhamma are high. They uplift one's life. They uplift the person. So these requisites of enlightenment, in brief, are the three trainings: Sila, Samadhi, Panya, and these are the teaching of the Buddha. When one practices in order to develop these dhammas, one's body, speech, and mind will be blameless, pure, clean, gentle, and peaceful and lovable. So by practicing, one has this Buddhist culture, one has this Buddha's teaching within oneself. And it is the benefit of practice. Saraji gives an example. If one gets to eat delicious food, then one remembers the most beloved one, wanting others also to taste the food. In the same way, when one has got the taste of Dhamma, one also wants beloved ones to get the taste of the Dhamma, thinking that if they also get the taste of Dhamma, they will also be happy, and they will gain the kind of happiness that surpasses the worldly happiness, the sensual happiness, which are dangerous and fatal. So the person who has tasted the Dhamma urges others to practice. When others know the method of practice, they will practice, and then they will be happy. They will also gain benefit. Just as when one earns good amount of money, then one will be well-to-do, one standard of living will be high, and the person will be happy. In the same way, when one has gained the Dhamma happiness by practicing, then they will also gain happiness. So the Dhamma practice brings benefit for human, deva. So that's why people who have compassion towards others, they also want others to practice. The requisites of enlightenment are the Dhamma that Buddha himself founded, and there are groups of these requisites of enlightenment. There are seven groups, such as Satipatthana, the foundation of mindfulness, Samapatthana, supreme effort, and so on. And yesterday, Saraji explained about Satipatthana, that one should be mindful on every bodily action, every feeling and sensation, thoughts, imaginations, and other mental objects that arises. In order to be mindful of them, one should note with aim and effort. So Saraji still needs to explain the meaning of Satipatthana. And Saraji also has to explain about Pamada and Appamada. So if it is not explained that the Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, the requisites of enlightenment, are the main essence of the Buddha's teaching, if it is not explained, then some people may have doubt in it. So the Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, the requisites of enlightenment, they are the main essence of the Buddha's teaching. And one should note the presently arising object with aim and effort. When the noting mind falls on the nature of materiality, one comes to know the nature of materiality. When one's mind falls onto the cause, then one understands the cause. When the mind falls on the effect, one comes to know the effect. When the noting mind falls on cause and effect, then one comes to know cause and effect. And one comes to understand the cause and effect relationship, and also impermanent suffering and non-self. When one knows impermanent and suffering, one will no longer take as good or pleasant, and one will no longer believe in the Atta, the soul, that is good. And one develops knowledge stage by stage, and when one's knowledge becomes mature, one realizes cessation by gaining Magga Jnana, path, knowledge. By noting the presently arising object, by discerning the presently arising object, one has the essence, sila sara, the morality essence, samadhi sara, concentration essence, and panya sara, wisdom essence. And there will be vimutti sara, the essence of being free from the defilements. Vimutti jnana dasana sara, the essence of knowledge, being free from the defilements. When one's vipassana jnana, when one's inside knowledge become mature, one realizes nibbana, the cessation, by gaining magga phala jnana, path and fruition knowledge, and it is the highest essence. Practicing satipatthana meditation, one can gain all six kinds of essence. By fulfilling sila, one will be free from transgressive defilements. Knowing that one is free from transgressive defilements, there is vimutti rasa, essence of being free from defilements. Knowing that one is free from defilements, there will be vimutti jnana dasana. And at the moment, one is free from kilesa vata, round of defilements, kamma vata, round of deeds, vipaka vata, round of resultants. In this way, there will be tadanga nibbana, there will be momentary cessation. And one also understands that one is free from defilements and there is momentary cessation. When noting the object with effort, when there is sustained mindfulness, one is free from priyutana kilesa, obsessive defilements, momentarily. And when one reflects on it, one understands that one is free from these defilements. And thus, there will be both vimutti rasa and vimutti jnana dasana. When one develops knowledge, vipassana knowledge, one also removes wrong view. Discerning mind and matter, one removes the wrong view of jiva atta, individual soul. By discerning cause and effect, one removes the wrong view of Brahma atta, supreme soul. By understanding cause and effect, one knows that these nama rupa are arising as cause and effect. Relevant cause and relevant effect are arising continuously, just like a stream of current. Knowing impermanence, one removes wrong view of permanence, and one knows that one is free from wrong view. So there will be panyasara, the wisdom essence. When one develops knowledge, one is free from anusya kilesa, latent defilements, momentarily, and there will be vimutti sara. And when one reflects that one is free from, when one reflects that one removes latent defilements momentarily, it will be vimutti jnana dasana. In this way, developing knowledge, one removes anusaya, latent torment defilements, momentarily, And when finally one gains Magga Phala Jnana, path fruition knowledge, one attains cessation, Nibbana. By attaining Nibbana, by realizing the cessation, one fulfills the four tests of discerning Dukkha Sajja, truth of suffering, removing Smudhya Sajja, the truth of origin of suffering, realizing Nibbana, the truth of cessation, and developing Magga Sajja, the truth of path leading to cessation. In this way, by realizing Nibbana, by path and fruition knowledge, one fulfills the four tasks of discerning, removing, realizing, and developing. At the moment of Vipassana, when the yogi is discerning Dukkha Sajja, the truth of suffering, one removes Smudhya, the origin of suffering, there will be momentary cessation, Tathanga Nirodha, and one develops Pubba Bhaga Magga, preliminary path. But as one has realized Nibbana, the cessation, one fulfills Logodara Sila Samadhi Panya, supermundane morality, concentration, and wisdom. There will be Vimutti Sara as well as Vimutti Jnana Dasana. And also, one realizes Nibbana and one gains this essence of Nibbana. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one is fulfilling all the other Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, all the other requisites of enlightenment. So that's why by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one is also fulfilling all the essence of the Buddha's teaching. Bodhipakkhiya Dhamma, the requisites of enlightenment, are the main essence of the Buddha's teaching. There are two kinds of person. The ones who have wrong intention, wrong view, and the ones who have right view, right intention. The ones who have wrong view, wrong intention, they think of essence as non-essence. They think of non-essence as essence. And the ones who have right view, they take essence, sara as sara, and they take non-essence as non-essence, asara as asara. For monks, asara are the requisites, food, robes, medicine, and dwelling place. Monks have to make use of these four requisites. They are inevitable. But one should not give priority to gaining these four requisites. So that's why these are asara. They are non-essence. For lay person, the sensual objects, they are asara. The five kinds of sense objects, they are non-essence. Some of them have wrong belief that taking non-essence as essence, taking essence as non-essence. People who are giving priority to asara, they do not believe in karma or the results of the karma. They do not believe in deeds or the results of these deeds, and thus they have wrong view. They believe wrongly that practicing meditation is tormenting oneself. It is better to stay in comfort within one's own home. So they do not want to give up the worldly happiness, worldly comfort, and they think that it is foolish to be practicing meditation. In this way, they take sara as asara, and they take asara as sara. So it is said that asari sara matino, meaning that these people with wrong view take asara, non-essence, as essence. So they think, they believe wrongly that the things that are true essence, they take them to be of no essence. So they have wrong intention, wrong view. They think that the sensual objects are the true essence. So they seek to see good things. They seek to hear good sounds. They seek for better and better things to see, to hear, to taste, to touch, and so on. And they entertain wrongful thoughts, wanting to kill others, wanting to torment others. So they are seeing things just the opposite. They are seeing opposite things. They are seeing asara as sara, non-essence as essence. And they are having wrong intention, wrong view. So it is said that te sara nadi gacchanti, meaning that people who have wrong view, who takes essence as non-essence, who takes non-essence as essence, they do not gain the true essence. So one should ponder whether one is among these persons, and they should also ponder whether the people in the surrounding are like them. And one should be careful with people who have wrong belief and wrong view. People who have right view, they have right thoughts, such as nekama vitaka, thoughts free from defilements. And then they have compassionate thoughts, not wanting to kill others, not wanting to torment others, thinking about things that will be beneficial for others. Such kind of people have right thoughts, wholesome thoughts. And by practicing the three trainings, sila, samadhi, panya, rectifying their body, speech, and mind, they gain the true essence. It is said that sammasangappa gocara, meaning that people who have right intention, right thoughts, gain the true essence. So among the two kinds of person, one should think in which group they are in and to what they will give priority. If one understands that practicing meditation is the true essence, yogis who are here, they are practicing satipatthana meditation, which are included, consisted in bodhipakkhiya dhamma, the requisites of enlightenment. And by practicing satipatthana meditation, they are fulfilling sila sara, morality essence, samadhi sara, concentration essence, and Panyasara, wisdom, essence. And by practicing, one can gain Nibbana, the highest essence. That's why yogis should practice diligently in order to gain Nibbana, which is the highest essence. So, not thinking highly of the kind of worldly happiness that are dangerous and fatal, knowing that there is the kind of happiness that surpasses the worldly happiness, these people come to the retreat, come to practice the Dhamma. Giving up the worldly pleasure in order to join the retreat, one gains Nekama Sukha, being free from the field of sensual objects. So here in the retreat, even though they have to stay in groups, but if one does not talk with others, staying alone by himself, by herself, not talking with others, yogi gains Kaya Viveka, the seclusion. And in order to be free from thoughts, imaginations, one needs to know the presently arising object. By being mindful of the presently arising object, one also gains Jeta Viveka, seclusion of the mind. So one is not enjoying with thoughts and imaginations, and thus there will be two kinds of sukha, Kaya Viveka Sukha and Jeta Viveka Sukha. And by being mindful, one gains Sati Samadhi Panya, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. By developing Sati Samadhi Panya, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom, one removes gross, medium, and refined form of defilements, and one gains Upasama Sukha, seclusion, being free from these defilements. When one gains knowledge, especially when one gets to the stage of at least Udiyavya Jnana, then one experiences happiness. And when one realizes Nibbana, the happiness one can gain will be greater. By developing knowledge, one gains Sambodha Sukha, the happiness gained through developing knowledge. So comparing the happiness, comparing the sensual happiness, that is compared to feces, and the Dhamma happiness, one understands that they differ greatly. Cherishing the Dhamma happiness, valuing the Dhamma happiness, one also knows Sara as Sara, true essence as essence, and Asara as Asara, non-essence as non-essence. Having right intention, then one practices so as to gain the Dhamma happiness that surpasses the worldly happiness. And one realizes through his or her experience that the Dhamma happiness surpasses the worldly happiness known through his or her experience. And thus, Saraji does not even have to explain about it. So Saraji explains about the essence. For materiality, one's body, as a being, one has to take food. And every day, one has to take 2 meals or 3 meals. By taking food in the body, one's body feels fresh. So there is oja, nutriments that are consisted in the food with flavors. So it's kind of flavors. So if one takes food, nutritious food, full of vitamins, then there will be panida rupa. One will develop fresh, healthy materiality in one's body. Getting enough nutrition, one's body will be healthy and one can live long. And one will have good looking body, glowing, having good looking proportionate in body, and so on. So taking nutritious food, one gains health as well as beauty, glowing, and good proportionate body, and one will feel happy, and there will be well-being, happiness, and one will feel energized and strong. So because one takes sufficient nutrition, and in the nutrition there is oja, nutriment, that is keeping one to be healthy, to gain well-being and happiness. So the nutritions are making one's body healthy and fresh. In the same way, one needs to take nutritions into one's mind, into one's life. So one needs to develop the essence in order to make one's body, one's life healthy and fresh. By practicing sila, when there is sila essence, morality essence, one's body and speech, one's physical, verbal behavior will be pure and clean. And also, just as the life, the material life is prolonged, in the same way, when one develops samadhi, concentration, one will also, one's mental life will also be prolonged, and one's will have good mentality, pure, clean mentality. One's mind will be proper. And by gaining knowledge, one's body, speech, and mind will be proper. One's life will become beautiful, amazingly beautiful. One will gain well-being and happiness by developing sila, samadhi, banya, and one's physical, verbal, mental behavior will be pure and clean, and one gains true happiness. Just as when the body has physical resistance, one can repel, one can withstand cold and heat, and one can also withstand adversities that can harm one's health. In the same way, when one has spiritual stamina, one can withstand good and bad things. Even though one may come across desirable objects, greed cannot arise. Even though one may come across undesirable objects, hatred, aversion cannot arise. In this way, having spiritual stamina, one will have patience. By developing dhammoja, the Dhamma nutriment, by developing knowledge, One gains spiritual stamina. One will be able to reflect whether or not something is beneficial or whether something is suitable or not. If something is not beneficial, not suitable, one will not do it, one will not talk about it, and one will not think about it. And when something is both beneficial and suitable, one has to do it, one has to talk, and one has to think in timely way so that one gains benefit. So just as when one takes nutritious food full of vitamins, one's body will be healthy and fresh. In the same way, by taking Dhammoja, Dhamma nutrition, one's life, one's mind will be fresh and healthy, and it is true essence, and one gains benefit. So Saraji says, for those who practice respectfully, meticulously, continuously, diligently, they can know from their experience that the Dhammoja, the Dhamma nutritions, can make one's life, one's mind to be fresh and healthy, and one will gain essence. So Saraji hope that all the yogis will be able to practice diligently, respectfully, so that they will gain this Dhamma nutrition to make their mind and the life healthy and alert. Sadhu, sadhu.